We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth? Truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than from others in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, helping them choose life, and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250, baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
We inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Waldman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for joining me today, and hope you had a great Thanksgiving last week. I was had a pre-record on Tuesday and, of course, on Thanksgiving, so didn't get a chance to hear from you, but would love to hear today. And it's Christmas month, all month. Let's enjoy it. Man, I do have to tell you, I didn't get to comment on this when it happened last week, but President Trump's response and his tweet about basically doing reverse migration could be the most important thing that he does in his entire presidency. I just think this is going to be a huge, huge deal. So we'll talk a little bit about that today and some of the other things going on. But I tell you, it's finally, I think people are starting to get a grasp of just how dangerous and frankly, the existential threat that immigration has become to our country, not just illegal immigration, legal immigration. You know, I've said for, probably two decades at this point, that it ought to be 1,000 times easier to get into America legally and 1,000 times harder to get in illegally. I think that's the wrong statement. I think actually it should be 1,000 times harder to come in illegally. Absolutely. I think we should all agree on that. The poorest borders are what created so many of our problems in the country. But I think I need to clarify my statement about 1,000 times easier to come in legally. I think what I should say is it should be 1,000 times easier to come to America legally if you will be a contributing member of society, assimilate into our country, and support the values of our country, and participate as an American under the Constitution. I know, it's way too long. It's too hard to say all of that, but that's the way I'm going to have to say it from now on. In fact, and I'll add the third category, that it should also be 1,000 times harder to come legally if you're not going to assimilate in our country. If you hate America, it should be not 1,000 times harder. It should be impossible. Yes, impossible. You should not get to come to America if you hate America or American values. If you don't like the American Constitution, if you don't like the free enterprise system, if you don't like the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was built, and I'm not saying you have to be Jewish or Christian to be an American. I'm not saying that at all. But if you don't like Judeo-Christian values, then you don't like America. If you don't like electing representatives, which is a Judeo-Christian value from Exodus, if you don't like free enterprise, if you don't like employers and employees working out their differences and their payment instead of government, you don't like the parable that Jesus does on that, if you don't like the idea of having a justice system that treats everyone the same, no matter their color of skin, no matter their religious affiliation, no matter their political affiliation, that everyone under the law is treated the same, if you don't like those ideas, we don't want you. We don't want you in our country. You are not a positive addition to the country, and our immigration system should reflect that. Our immigration system should be willing to say, no, you're not welcome here. Your value system, the ideas that you have, your way of life is not good for America. It's fine for wherever you came from. Hey, if you want to hold on to a value system that is different than ours, that's great. God bless you. We're not into making everyone be like us. We are not actually what we get accused of often. We are not actually trying to make everyone on the planet live exactly the same as we do. So if you don't like our system, hey, that's fine. Stay where you are. Don't come to America. And don't and especially don't expect us to bend over backwards catering to your demands. I mean, I guess maybe I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think I might dislike even more the ingratitude, the ungrateful, the ingrates, the ones that come here and then complain about our system and whine about our system. I might dislike that more than even those who come here to destroy America. Even more than the nefarious ones. I mean, there's always going to be the enemies of America that want to undermine us, and it's our own self-inflicted wound and our own ignorance or just perhaps even collusion with those who want to destroy us. It's our own fault when they get in, when they come across an open border or get invited in, or we don't vet them well enough. That's our own fault. I mean, we're inflicting that wound. For those that come here supposedly to assimilate and then whine and complain and are just ungrateful, man, go home. Go home. I'm sorry if you don't like my attitude today, but I'm fed up with this stuff. And you know, the murder of this National Guardsman and the attempted murder of the other one, the protests in the streets, the videos that are coming out right now of these people saying how they're going to take over America and how they're going to take over Congress and undo everything that is American about America. I'm at a point where I completely 100% agree with those like my Congressman Chip Roy, who have said, just put a pause on all immigration until we correct the system, until we fix the system, stop all of it. Don't let anyone in. And I realize that that hurts a lot of people. And I realize that that is, you know, there's good people that are in the process of trying to come to America that do want to assimilate, that would be great citizens. I get it. I get the fact that it would be harmful to them to pause this. And I'm not saying we don't ever let them in. But I completely agree with the idea that we should just say, complete stop, full stop. Nobody else comes in. No more immigration until we deport 30 million of the ones that came here either illegally or with ill intent or without a desire to assimilate and be a contributing member of our society. Until that happens, nobody else gets in. I mean, that just makes sense. That's no different than if you're in business and you overextend yourself, or you get into too many areas and you start too many divisions. I mean, I'm kind of living this right now at Patriot Academy. We've started too many things, you know, we're going to have to dial back. In the same way that you would say, we're not going to start any new products. We're not going to launch any new programs. If you're a, you know, I don't know, you're tennis shoemaker or you make shoes and you've got too many lines out there. You can't market them all or you can't manufacture them all. You dial back and you say, we're not going to start any new ones until we get a handle on this, until we can manage what we've got, until we can actually take care of what's on the plate. We're not going to dump anything else on the plate. That's just common sense, man. It's actually a necessity. So if we have to do that personally, why can't we do that nationally? What is wrong with a nation saying nobody else is coming in, no more immigration? I'm not saying we shut the borders completely and we don't allow anybody to fly in the country. Obviously, you're going to allow business and people to visit and that sort of thing. But we're going to have a total lockdown on who comes in. We're going to know who they are, where they are, and we're not going to allow any more, even legal immigration, until we deport 20 to 30 million of those who came in illegally or are just bad actors. They're just not good for the country. And is it fair to say that if you're not assimilating and you're creating your own little mini countries, like what they've done in Europe all over the place, where they've just these no-go zones for the police, there's zero assimilation. If that's you, you're gone. We're sending you home. If you've said anything that shows you to be anti-American and in any way undermining our culture and our country, you're gone. I mean, that should be like no skin off our back. We don't owe anyone, like no one has a right to come to America. No one. It is a privilege. It is a blessing from God if we let you in and you get to come to America either temporarily or we actually allow you to immigrate here and become a citizen. That is a blessing. And show some gratitude and be thankful for it. And again, I mean, let me back up. I am all for immigration that is legal, done through the process, and is someone that is a contributing member of the American society and supports and undergirds and solidifies the Judeo-American, Judeo-Christian American value system and does not undermine it. I'm all for that, and I want more of that. I think we do need a healthy amount of that. But I am totally fine with stopping it completely for a season until we get our house in order, until we get a handle on what we've got now, until we deport enough of the bad actors, pause the whole thing. And you know what that would do? I mean, think about the pressure that would put on our government at every level to get that done. Like in other words, if you said we're going to pause all immigration, that's going to cause some problems. It's going to create some pressure in business and in every political sphere. There's going to be people from all over the world that are going to want that to be solved, because that there is a in addition to all the bad stuff that's going on, there's also a healthy flow of immigration that helps to provide jobs, to provide business, to provide all kinds of interaction. There's a lot of stuff that would, by pausing completely, cause a lot of problems for a lot of people, which creates pressure on the politicians to take care of business. So that's what I'm saying. I'm saying create the pressure. I'm saying that would be a good thing to force our federal and state and local governments to focus on getting the bad players out. And maybe that takes a year. You know, maybe it's a full year hard stop on immigration and a full year of deporting all of the illegals and deporting a ton of the legals that should never have been let in the first place. You talk about a massive, massive turnaround for America. You talk about a absolute easing of the housing mess, a massive lowering of housing costs, and I'm not going to say you're not going to get rid of crime completely, but I mean, I would argue you'd cut it in half, that you would have in these big cities where the immigrant population that is such a high percentage of the crime problem. Man, you talk about a renaissance. I think that would end up being the word. It would be an American renaissance. And I'm not saying that's the only thing we do. In fact, I don't even think I have that in my 12-step recovery plan for the country. We still need to do all of the 12 steps in that recovery plan, where we increase civic literacy, we increase biblical literacy, we restore property rights and parental rights, and get rid of emergency powers for these governors, and all of the things that we've got in that in our Rebuilding Liberty plan for the 250. We still got to do all that. That's just your basic cultural renewal. But it gets rid of the sharpest instrument of cultural decay, the sharpest instrument of our enemies to destroy the country, is the illegal immigration and the legal immigration that is unhealthy. That's where they're undermining us, folks. That's what's creating so many of our problems in America. So if President Trump does what he tweeted out last week, wow. Major turning point, folks. All right, quick break. Your thoughts on all this, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We'll be right back on At the Core.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. A vacation with a purpose. That's what we call our tours here at American Family Radio, American Family Association, because we go and we see and we do and we have great fellowship and fun and food, but we also have a purpose in visiting the places we go to, a spiritual purpose, a historical purpose, and that's going to include our tours in 2026. Here are the tours. We're going to Washington, D.C. We're going to George Washington's Mount Vernon. We're going to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We're going to Boston, Massachusetts. So if you want information on any of those tours for 2026, the dates, the prices, the itinerary, go to this website, wildmangroup.com, WILDMONgroup.com, and we hope to see you on one of our 2026 Spiritual Heritage Tours.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wobbin and Rick Green, Everett Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me today. Disturbing headline just came through. Samaritan's purse plane hijacked while on aid mission. Looks like it was hijacked on Tuesday in South Sudan. Love Samaritan's purse. Wonderful, wonderful Christian charity. Does amazing work all over the world. I do not see, I'm just trying to scan the article real quick here to see if it was resolved. Okay, yes, so it has been resolved. Praise God. I was actually going to pray for him on air. Looks like it has been resolved. So anyway, yeah, man, wild. I had just now seen that headline. I guess that happened 2 days, or yeah, 2 days ago, and I didn't know about it, so I just missed that one, but wow. Yeah, in fact, I've got good friends that work for them, and we try to do a lot of stuff with them throughout the year anyway. Okay, so, sorry, got distracted there. I feel like I just did a squirrel, you know, where my ADHD kicked in. I don't know why people blame all their, you know, lack of attention on ADHD, but I just did. There you go. I was that kid in school where I needed five things going at once to keep my attention. So luckily for me, my mom homeschooled me, so I didn't get pumped full of drugs like they tend to do to most kids today, just for being, you know, rambunctious. What's wrong with being rambunctious? That's good. Okay, let's go to the phones. 888-589-8840 is the phone number. 888-589-8840. We will start in Louisiana with, I think it says, Starla. And I have to reboot, guys. I don't know what just happened, but if you could go to Starla in Louisiana, we will start there. Starla, you there?
I'm here.
Yeah.
Yes,
go for
I am.
It.
Okay, I have a couple of questions. One, talking about the ICE agents and the raids and things like this, my question is, why is it legal for the press, all types of media, to warn everybody, all the illegals, everything else, why is it legal for the press to do all of that?
Wow.
The ICE raid?
I think that's a great question, Starla. I would wonder the same thing. I mean, if you're, let's just back up and say any law enforcement is going after a criminal trying to stop criminal activity, if someone intervenes in that, and tries to stop law enforcement from stopping the crime from happening or arresting or whatever it might be, wouldn't we consider that aiding and abetting the criminal? Wouldn't we consider that part of the criminal activity if you're trying to stop law enforcement from being engaged? You know, and of course these people are trying to put this in a separate category. In fact, this is part of the whole what some people are calling seditious activity of these congressmen and senators telling the military don't obey illegal orders, which generally speaking, that statement makes sense. But what they're really saying is don't obey the president when he sends you in to help ICE. I think Starla, you got a great point. I mean, I'm amazed that the media has been allowed and others have been allowed to be a part. Just think about the protest where they are trying to prevent ICE from doing their job. And let's all back up for a second and think about what ICE is doing here. So what is it that these people are so angry about President Trump doing and sending ICE in to do? They're removing people they started with the worst of the worst, the literal cartel, drug gang members that came here illegally and took over apartment complexes and hotels and became part of the criminal element in cities all over our country. That's mostly what ICE was removing initially. Now they're getting more and more too, and I think they should be removing anyone that came illegally. I don't care if you had the best intentions in the world. If you came here illegally, you should be removed. And if you then get in line to come legally, okay, we'll work on that second half of the equation. But first of all, anyone who came here illegally should be removed. Most of what ICE has been doing is removing really bad characters. But whether it's a bad character a really bad character or just someone that just broke only that law. Let's say that's the only law they broke. They came across our border illegally. Now, let me ask you folks, if somebody broke into your home just to get warmed up because it was cold outside and your house was warm, let's compare that person to the person that breaks into your home to rape, to murder, to steal, to set your house on fire. So the really, really bad person that breaks into your home that's really got bad intent versus the person who's just trying to get warm, you're still throwing all of them out, aren't you? I mean, some total stranger breaks into your house to get warm, you're not going to just say, oh, well, if that's all you wanted, well, yeah, you can sleep in the living room. I don't have any idea who you are. My six-year-old daughter's upstairs and I'm not going to worry about the fact that I'm going to let some total stranger stay in the house. Even though they had less than the worst intent, you're still going to kick them out, okay? You're still going to send them on their way. You might, hey, if you really think they're just down on their luck and just trying to get warm, you might load them up and take them, to the church or to the shelter or somewhere. But you're not going to leave them in your living room. Not if you have any brains whatsoever and you actually take your first responsibility of protecting your family seriously. I'm all for taking care of people in need, but that doesn't mean you put them on your couch with your six-year-old daughter asleep upstairs, okay? You're going to remove them from your home even if they're the least law-breaking of the lawbreakers that broke into your house. It's the same with immigration. Even the least ill-intending of those who broke the law and came in illegally must be removed. You gotta enforce your borders and have decent immigration laws. And then if they apply and they are gonna be good for the culture, good for the economy, good for the neighborhood, and in really, really rare situations are in such a horrific, abused situation wherever they're coming from that we're going to provide them some level of asylum for some level of time. You know, any one of those scenarios is met, fine. But until then, we're removing you. So now, if we can agree on that, actually, I don't care if we agree on that, that should be the policy of the country. And that is the policy of President Trump. And so ICE is out there trying to get rid of the bad actors, trying to remove the people that are breaking our laws. And now you got all these people, including congressmen and senators, saying that that's wrong, saying that we're going to actually prevent you from doing that. We're going to protest. We're going to get in your way. We're going to block ICE agents. We're going to warn people to run and warn people to leave. I can't even comprehend the willingness to actually aid and abet the lawbreakers instead of the people that are actually following the law, what is the stated law of the country, what the nation has agreed through its elected representatives should be the policy of the nation. Which side are you on? And I am totally in agreement with our caller that if you're actually aiding and abetting the criminal, then you are a criminal. If you're aiding and abetting the criminal, and then you should also be prosecuted for doing that. So I don't know why. Maybe there's some level of an attempt to go after some of those folks. But it's probably, my guess is, only when they actually physically intervene and try to stop an ICE agent, not when they're just but it's just as bad. It's perhaps even worse when they're actually tipping off people and they're aiding and abetting the criminal and preventing law enforcement from doing their job. Excellent call. I think you're spot on. It's the right question to ask. Okay, let's jump over to Texas. We got a couple of calls from Texas we'll try to get to here. Phil is up first. Phil, go ahead, man. You're up next.
Yes, I just told the call screener that I was just delighted that you were saying what you were saying about the illegal immigration. I thought everything you said made perfect sense. And I tell you what, you know, you're talking about how can people possibly want to promote this stuff or fight ICE when they're just trying to clean up the mess? It's very simple because those people behind this want to destroy our country. It's that simple. And they'll do anything it takes to make that happen. Anyway, the reason I called was because you alluded to something you said Trump had said just recently. He tweeted something out a day or two ago. I think it must have had to do with immigration, and I didn't know what that was. Can you just tell us real quickly what you were referring to?
Yeah. It was about a week ago. I'll try to pull it up here. It was a statement I would think common sense people would agree with this. But the reason I thought it was so, what's the word I'm looking for? So world changing is because it would change every policy in the country. It would affect everything. So here's what he said. I found it. He said, even as we have progressed technologically, immigration policy has eroded. This is what President Trump said. Immigration policy has eroded those gains and living conditions for many. I will permanently pause migration from all third world countries to allow the U.S. system to fully recover, terminate all of the millions of Biden illegal admissions, including those signed by Sleepy Joe Biden's auto pen, and remove anyone who is not a net asset to the United States or is incapable of loving our country. I will end all federal benefits and subsidies to non-citizens of our country, denaturalize migrants who undermine domestic tranquility, and deport any foreign national who is a public charge, security risk, or non-compatible with Western civilization. These goals will be pursued with the aim of achieving a major reduction in illegal and disruptive populations, including those admitted through an unauthorized and illegal auto pen approval process. Only reverse migration can fully cure this situation. Other than that, happy Thanksgiving to all, except those that hate, steal, murder, and destroy everything that America stands for. You won't be here for long. So I think he actually sent it on Thanksgiving. It's either Thanksgiving or the day before. And I mean, man, let me just break some of this down. And Phil, thank you for the call. I want to break some of this down because any one of these is a significant policy initiative and effort. It's not going to be easy to, first of all, even pausing migration from all third world countries. I mean, that's a big policy statement to say that. And he has. He's directed the agencies to not allow anybody in from, I think it's 19 countries that have been listed. Now, there are those who will object to this. There are Christians that are going to object to this and say, you know, this is not being a good Christian nation or citizen of the world because there are people that are hurting and seeking asylum from these third world countries. I understand that. I understand. That's why I said earlier there are some people that will be hurt by such a policy. They're probably good people that are trying to get out of those horrible places to get to America that will be paused. They will have to wait another year, and there will be repercussions of that. But everything's a cost benefit. There are no solutions. I think it was Thomas Sowell that said there are only alternatives, and the alternative to those people having to endure whatever situation they're in for another year and have to, you know, take longer for their asylum petition, the alternative is that we stop the bad ones from coming in. I think that's a good alternative. I think that is a proper policy decision. So that one, even by itself, which seems like the easiest one to do, especially when you have murder and rape and destruction in the streets of America happening from these illegal, mostly, but even some of the legal migrants, it should be done. That's a good cost-benefit analysis. Okay, go to the next one. Terminate all of the millions of Biden illegal admissions. All right, sometimes Trump says things that are 5D chess statements, and I simplify them too much. And so I think this is probably one of those. But let me start with the simple part of this. Basically, terminate all of those who came here illegally under the Biden open border. That should be a no-brainer. That should absolutely happen. But I think he's also talking about a lot of the illegal admissions that happened, meaning there were several scenarios where either Otto Penn or Joe Biden or someone during the Biden administration gave a blanket asylum to entire classes of people from nations. That is always foolish. That's just, I mean, that is, I just got to use the word stupid. That is so foolish for our country. And to our last caller's point, I think that's right. The only reason you do that is because you hate America. And that's not a compassion thing. That is lack of compassion for the American people. That's how the girl, you know, the girl that got set on fire on the train, the girl that got murdered and stabbed on the train, the countless rapes and kidnappings and all that. That's not compassion to let people in our country that are going to do those kind of things. It's not compassion to put people on the streets and not have, you know, doing this cashless bail and all of these things that have led to so many rapes, so many murders, so many kidnappings. It's not compassion. It's actually a lack of compassion. It's actually hatred for your fellow man. It's not showing love. It's showing that you don't care or you are so foolish and careless that then people get harmed. Okay, so yeah, I think that one absolutely needs to be done. I'm not going to get through this whole thing before the break, so we'll finish it off when we come back from the break. But that terminating that is huge, including the ones that were signed by Sleepy Joe Biden's auto pen. In other words, there's a lot of stuff that happened with the auto pen that allowed people to come here that should not be here that absolutely President Trump should reverse. Get them out of our nation and make them go through an actual legal, thoughtful, you know, rational process. All right, we're going to have to take a break. 888-589-8840 is the phone number. 888-589-8840. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, and we are breaking down Donald Trump's tweet from last week. I keep saying tweet. I think it was a Truth Social that got shared on tweet on X. But anyway, I think what I had said, let me see if I can find my statement. I shared it several times because my congressman, Chip Roy, who's phenomenal, he's been calling for this for a while. He actually had a bill. I think he filed it. I want to say he filed it in June. So, but he's talked about it for a long time and basically said we should be pausing immigration. You know, this is the only way to correct the system, to fix what's going on. But anyway, when Trump first put this out, I can't seem to find my retweet of it, but I said it's the most consequential, most important tweet he's ever put out. That if he does, oh yeah, here it is. Possibly the most consequential post ever from 4547. If he does this in large numbers, and I mean no less than 10 million and preferably 30 million plus, it can save and restore our constitutional republic. So, I mean, that was the day that he did it. And actually, he did tweet it out. It basically would reverse so much of the damage. Now, here's a few of the things that were in the tweet that weren't in the statement that I read earlier, because the Truth Social and the tweet are a little bit different. So let me back up and read a little bit more of this, because some of it's just funny, okay? The Don is great at this. He said, "A very happy Thanksgiving salutation to all of our great American citizens and patriots who have been so nice in allowing our country to be divided, disrupted, carved up, murdered, beaten, mugged, and laughed at, along with certain other foolish countries throughout the world for being politically correct and just plain stupid. When it comes to immigration," okay, so then he says, "the official United States foreign population stands at 53 million people, most of which are on welfare from failed nations or from prisons, mental institutions, gangs, or drug cartels. They and their children," now I will take exception. I don't know that you could say most, but the Don, you know, makes these generalizations sometimes that aren't completely accurate, but tend to make the point. Okay. "They and their children," I'm back to his tweet, "they and their children are supported through massive payments from patriotic American citizens who, because of their beautiful hearts, do not want to openly complain or cause trouble in any way, shape, or form. They put up with what has happened to our country, but it's eating them alive to do so. A migrant earning $30,000 with a green card will get roughly $50,000 in yearly benefits for their family. The real migrant population is much higher. This refugee burden is the leading cause of social dysfunction in America, something that did not exist after World War II. Failed schools, high crime, urban decay, overcrowded hospitals, housing shortages, and large deficits, etc." Now, I there's a lot more here, and I'm going to try to get to more of it, but I got to comment on this part in case we run out of time, since it's our last segment of the day. I think what he's saying here is accurate. I think this is the... Now, well, I'm always arguing with myself. Have you noticed that? Definitely the lack of Judeo-Christian values, the moral decay in the country is the major reason for what's all of the problems that we have. But the migrant population is a massive part of that. You cannot deny that when you bring people into the country that don't have the Judeo-Christian value system, it dilutes the value system. It does, in fact, change who we are as a nation. It does do exactly what he just said here. Divides, disrupts, carves up, murders, beats, mugs, laughs at our system. I mean, that is what has happened. So anyway, he goes on to say, where'd I leave off? "As an example, hundreds of thousands of refugees from Somalia are completely taking over the once great state of Minnesota. By the way, my friend Mike Liddell, I understand, has filed. I don't know if he's filed a committee that's exploratory or actually filed for office. I think he's filed for governor of Minnesota. That's a whole other topic. Guys like Victor Marks running in Colorado, Mike Liddell running in Minnesota. Could this be the Donald Trump effect at the state level for gubernatorial candidates? Could you have potentially these outliers, these outsiders that some will dismiss just like they dismissed Donald Trump in 2015 when he first announced? Could you have that happening at the state level through guys like Victor Marks and Mike Lindell. We might have to save that one for Tuesday, but that's a really interesting topic. Okay, back to the state of Minnesota. Trump says this, Somalian gangs are roving the streets looking for prey as our wonderful people stay locked in their apartments and houses, hoping against hope that they will be left alone. I'm just reading, folks. The seriously retarded governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, does nothing, either through fear, incompetence, or both, while the worst congresswoman in our country, Ilhan Omar, always wrapped in her swaddling hijab, and who probably came into the U.S. illegally, in that you are not allowed to marry your brother, does nothing but hatefully complain about our country, its constitution, and how badly she is treated, when her place of origin is decadent, backward, and crime-ridden nation, which is essentially not even a country for lack of government, military, police, schools, etc. Even as we have progressed, okay, here's the part I read earlier. This is the part that was shared on Truth Social. Even as we have progressed technologically, immigration policy has eroded those gains and living conditions for many. Okay, so the rest of it I read earlier, but let's again break down some of the policies here. So I already mentioned the whole, pausing migration from third world countries. He did that from 19 countries. I think we need to pause all migration, but at least he took that step. And by the way, Chip Roy, that's what he is recommending, that we pause all that migration. Okay. Then, of course, terminating all the millions of Biden illegal emissions, including those signed by Sleepy Joe's auto pen, and remove anyone. This is a big one, folks. Just pause whatever you're doing and listen close to this. Remove anyone who is not a net asset to the United States or is incapable of loving our country and removing all federal benefits and subsidies to non-citizens of our country. That's what made me retweet it and say this is the most consequential post that 4547 has ever done. That should be the policy from the beginning. You got to be a net asset or we don't want you. And President Trump is saying that he'll remove anyone who is not a net asset to the United States. Now, I understand that President Trump has a habit, or perhaps it's just his MO, of saying these big statements like that and setting that out as the general goal or policy. And then you got to do the hard work of actually doing some executive orders that will implement that within the law. So they have to be constitutional executive orders, which means he has to make immigration policy here, that he has to execute immigration policy that is in line with what Congress has actually set. Because Article 1, Section 8 gives Congress the authority on immigration. And then the president has to execute that law. So he can only do it within the wiggle room, within the execution power that he has of whatever Congress has actually done. And so I don't know all of the details and ins and outs of that. I am not an immigration policy expert. And so whatever Congress has set as the immigration policy and law, then the president is in charge of executing that. So depending on how much the wiggle room is there, I would think that we have in the law that if you're not a net asset, I would think if you're a detriment to the country, that the president would have the authority to say, remove that person from the country. Now, I know for a fact that the president has the authority to remove someone that's a danger to the country. That goes all the way back to 1798, 99, 1800, the Alien and Sedition Acts, and that's part of what President Trump did in January, February, and March, and everybody freaked out when he was flying all these illegals out that were, no question, a danger to the country. It's a higher standard to say that they're not a net asset. That's a different calculation that we have to make. And I don't know that he has the authority to do that. Maybe he's just saying, I want that to be the policy. Congress, get busy passing that. I would argue that we need a national referendum on this. I say we make this an absolute debate in this country for the next year and a half, or next year for the midterms, and that we push for a constitutional amendment that would say this. Let's make this a national referendum. Think about it. If you're talking to folks over Christmas If you're, you know, last week over Thanksgiving or coming up in a few weeks over Christmas, you're talking to your family members. I mean, that seems like a simple debate. How about we figure out how to, I haven't thought through this, so I'm thinking through it on the air, all right? But we figure out how to articulate this in just a simple question. Do you or do you not agree that America's immigration policy should be that only those who are a net asset to the country should be invited in? Even if they're seeking asylum. Even if they're in a bad situation, they're seeking asylum, they might still be a net asset. You might have a doctor, someone that's been trained as a doctor, and they're in some, you know, backwater country, and now their life is being threatened or whatever. That person could still be a net asset to our country. And even a person that's uneducated, that doesn't have any kind of special skill, but it can prove through their asylum application that they want to be a contributing member of society, that they'll do whatever, you know, the way it used to be. I mean, I've washed dishes. I've done hard work. What's wrong with saying it's okay for a person to come in and be a dishwasher or you know, landscape or whatever it might be? I've done both of those jobs. That's not, you know, too much to ask. That person could still be a net asset to the country, but we're going to keep tabs on them. I think we should. And we're going to figure out, are they actually a net asset? And if they're not, we remove them. Okay, so back to the general statement and the national referendum. That's what it is. We should have a national referendum on what the immigration policy ought to be, and we ought to make a simple, very clear argument that you should not be allowed to immigrate to America unless you're a net asset to the country. And we define that further as you'll assimilate into the American way of life. You will swear allegiance to the Constitution of America and not do anything to undermine the Constitution of America. I think we all know that rules out a pretty significant population that wants to come here. That you will not ask for any welfare or any kind of there'll be no benefits or subsidies or you're not going to be asking for hotels and anything, that you'll come here and work your way into our society. I mean, that seems like a debate we could win. I would assume, and I'm assuming, I'll look up some polling and maybe talk about this on Tuesday still, that most Americans would agree with that idea. And I don't mean most like 50.5%. I mean like 70 to 80%. This is one of those issues that probably cuts 70-30 or 80-20. And if it does, get the constitutional amendment done. Run on it in the midterms. Everybody running for Congress on the Republican ticket ought to have to agree that you can only, that we're going to put in place an immigration policy that says you can only come here if you're a net asset to the country, and that means you got to swear allegiance to our Constitution. You got to not take any benefits or ask for any benefits, meaning welfare benefits and living on the government dole, and that you're willing to be, you know, subject to review for the first 10 years or whatever it might be. That's common sense, folks. That's actually the way we used to do immigration in this country. And so I don't know, man. I think if President Trump follows through on this tweet, it could be the biggest change for America that we've seen in our lifetime, and maybe it's the biggest change that he could do. It's the most important thing that he got elected on this issue, not defining it this way, but definitely on this issue. I say follow through. And he even uses the language reverse migration. Let's make that a mantra, that if you really want to make America great again, you're going to have to reverse the migration that has happened. This is huge, folks. I'm telling you. If you haven't read the full statement, go to my X page and take a look at that. I just think it could be the biggest change ever. Rick Green TX, by the way, is my X handle. Rick Green TX, obviously for Texas, for those of you that, you know, might not know that. And read Donald Trump's full statement from what was the 27th? Was that Thursday? I think it might have been Wednesday. So it might have been the day before Thanksgiving. The most, I'm going to change my statement. I said possibly the most consequential. I think it is the most consequential post ever from President Trump. Now, will he do it? Can he do it? Will Congress do it? Will we, as the citizens, back him up on this? If we do, folks, it's a game changer. Massive, massive game changer for America. And I think the American people want it. There's no question we need it. I think most people agree that we should only allow people into our country that are going to be a net asset. It doesn't mean you got to be a doctor. Like I said, you can be a dishwasher and still be a net asset to the country. All right, out of time for today, folks. Walker will be with you tomorrow. I hope you have a fantastic Friday and the rest of your weekend. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.